back on. So basically, if I give you a break, and I usually do, but sometimes I kind of mix the break in with giving you something to do. And so say, you know, take a break and do this, you know, whatever. I will then usually end up with two recordings out there because I basically record the 10 minutes of space. So it ends up with two recordings. Okay, we looked at paragraph. The next one is a paragraph and a break. And all I did there was throw in the BRs. Okay, and so you can see that I have thrown in a BR here, which would break down to essentially. And this one up here, I ended the paragraph, and that causes a break. So this line was caused by when I ended a paragraph leaves a line. And the same with H2. So headers, when I end them, they leave a blank line. Paragraphs, when I end them, they leave a blank line. The BR doesn't leave a blank line. It just moves down to the next line. So my BR after check the code and before the so is just moving down to another line. If I wanted to skip a line, I'd have to put in two BRs there. Okay. And I mentioned here that in XHTML, this is written as BR slash again, with a space slash. And we will look at XHTML in a minute. In a few minutes, actually. Okay, on this one, I put in those NBSPs to make multiple spaces. Okay, so in this particular place, I have the NBSPs, which makes the multiple spaces. When I just typed in the multiple spaces, again, notice there is no multiple space. Okay. Questions. My goal here is to kind of go through and show you how these little things work, and then you can write them. Okay, now this one is a little bit different. When HTML was first created, it was created by scientists for scientists, and they didn't care much how things looked. But there were a few things that they kind of liked. One of them would be bold, and one would be italic, so they could bold something or italicize something. These are the tags that let me do bold. Notice the B and the close B. That turns that word to bold. And then I went on and I've got an I and a close I, and that turns that word to italic. And then I came down a little below and I've got something where I wanted both bold and italics. Okay, now notice what I did there. I did the bold, doesn't matter which one I did first. But I did the bold first. Then I did the italic. Now what does matter is I have to close the inner one first and then close the outer one. So I have to close the inner and then I have to close the outer. Okay?
But that allows me to put in a little bit of style. Now when we go to CSS, we will see how to do bold and italics with CSS. And nowadays, that would be the preferred way of doing it. But if you notice, this one, I claim passed. So we're going to go and we're going to check it out. Whoops. Okay, so I'm going to take this address and I'm going to open up a new tab and go to the validator. And I'm going to paste that in there. And I'm going to bring it up. And it still does. It still validates. That was the old way of doing the style. And lots, I wanted to check it because I hadn't checked it this summer. And maybe they changed it and said that's no longer a valid way of doing it. But apparently they still are saying that's okay because it's still validated. I keep waiting for that to go away. Okay, but apparently it hasn't gone away yet. So this gives me a way of doing style. And as I said, this was the old way of doing style. Now, one of the things to notice here is, first of all, I couldn't do a lot of style in that. I can do a lot more with CSS. But there was a feeling when I started putting too much style embedded in here, I was getting it awfully messy. And there was a feeling that it would be better to separate the style and the actual content. And so when you take out the style and put the style into CSS, and we'll see how to do that next week, then you leave the content more just sitting here as content. You still are going to have things like, I want this to be a list, I want this to be a paragraph, but that's basic. It's not a more complex style. So there was a feeling that if you pull out the more sophisticated styles, it will keep the content cleaner and easier to work with. And I think that's a very good decision because I know some of my pages that have a lot of style in them before CSS are a little hard to figure out. Okay. Now, this one is, again, talking about, this is, did not validate. Okay. Oh, actually, it does say validate. Sorry, it's the next one that doesn't validate, I guess. Okay, so what I did here is I started out and I wanted to embed some lists. Okay, I wanted to embed the lists. And so what I did is I started out and I said, mainly I'm going to have a UL up here. So I put a UL in for an unordered list. And then I put a list item first. And you can see the word first up there. And then I put a list item second. Well, underneath that, I wanted to have these sub things. And so basically what they decided in HTML5, and I guess XHTML, was that since I really wasn't quite done with this one, I wouldn't close the LI yet. Because I wanted to put things underneath it. Okay, so I wouldn't close the LI yet. So then I came down, and right underneath it, I said, I want another unordered list. And so I put UL. And then I put in a list item that said second sub A. So there it is, under second.
And then I put in another list item that says second sub B, and there it is underneath. But then I decided I wanted to put something beneath that. And so I didn't close this LI. I started another UL. And I put up the UL, and I said this list item is going to say, and below that. And then I closed that list item, and that's all I wanted to put there, so I closed the UL. And then I said, okay, that means I'm done with the stuff below second sub D. This is the thing below second sub D. I'm done with that. So I'm going to put this LI in that is closing second sub D. Okay. And when I go home and I can write, I will draw an arrow up to there so that you can see that that's closing that one. But unfortunately, it has not yet let me write, and so I can't do that. But I can write when I get home. So then I continued on to the second sub C, and I closed that. And then I closed this UL. And at that point, when I closed that UL, I said, okay, now I'm done with second. So I'm going to put the LI in there to close second. And then I put in another LI for third. Now notice when I did this, it changed the icons. So I've got a closed bullet, I've got an open bullet, and I've got a square. And it changed the icons. When I did exactly the same thing using an OL instead of a UL, it didn't change. It gave everything the numbers 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. It didn't switch over to something else. And that's kind of interesting. And then on the last one, I actually changed between OLs and ULs. And it kind of accommodated me and gave me 1, 2, 3, and then went over to open bullets, and then went over to square. You see what's happening there.
If I come over to here, I think it's actually going to let me draw.
So again, this LI is closing that right there. And this LI is closing that right there. So if I'm putting something under stuff, I don't close the LI until I'm done putting the stuff underneath it. So under second, I wanted to put all of that. Okay, so I don't close second until I've got all of that done and I'm ready to write third. Under second sub B, I only wanted to put one thing, so I've just got a little stuff in there before I close that LI. Okay.
Questions. Does that honestly make sense?
It makes sense. I was wondering, it's branching off, but OL describes what numbers are, like actually saying the language is numbers. How many different types of like bullets?
I have no idea. How many? I mean, mainly because I don't think I've bothered to look, but number two is, there's only a certain level of indenting that I do. But it has those kinds, and I think there are others that you can choose. I think you can choose stars. I think you can choose a bunch of different icons.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if about, like, it's more cosmetic work. This is the basics, but it's like...
That's right. And you can do check marks, too. That's another icon. They have check marks. But how many, I don't know. I have done the check mark, and I've done an asterisk. And I'm sure there are others, but I just don't know them. Down here with the audit list, if you want to do an outline the way you learned to do in fifth grade or whatever, you have to do, it's what, Roman numerals first, and then uppercase letters, and then the lowercase letters or numbers next. I don't remember. But
I think it's numbers.
Numbers next, and then lowercase letters next, or whatever. And you can do all of that in the non-audit list when you get into CSS. Okay. There was actually a way of doing it. I think I just made another copy of that, which I really didn't want, but anyway. I've got far too much open. This is the one that has validation problems. Nope, that's not what I was looking for, actually. I thought I gave you one. Yeah, the old style lists. Yes. Pre-getting really good on CSS, they came up with this way of doing it. And I like to show you the old ways, because there's a lot of web pages out there that were created 10, 15 years ago, and they haven't been updated all that much. It's, if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing. And so people leave it. And lots of times you then get an assignment that basically says, I want to seriously upgrade this page. And so it really helps to know how things used to be done so that you can figure out how to do them. In this particular one, I came in and I said I wanted to put Lincoln, Gettysburg Address, President as the three things under there. And I wanted them to have a capital A and then B and C. So I wrote type equals A. And once I wrote on the OL, type equals A, then it did it with A, B, and C. And that worked just fine. The validator doesn't let it validate, though, because they want you to move over to doing it in CSS. But as you can see, the page comes up just fine. Okay. Then I came down here. And I said, okay, on this outline that I want to do, the first OL, I said type equals I, which is for Roman numerals. And so it did the outer ones with Roman numerals. And then I went inside and said type equals A, and it did the next layer in as ABC. And then I went in and said type equals 1, so it did that layer as 1 and 2. Now, at the same time, back when I was doing that, notice that this LI is closed. And I told you not to do that. That's, again, old style. The old style let me close the LI and then still put something underneath it. The new style that validates says don't do that. Okay? Either one of them works. It's just if validating is your goal, then you don't want to close something when you're putting stuff underneath it. Okay. So this worked just fine. You can see the output. The output's exactly what I wanted. But if I take it to the validator is not going to be happy with it. Okay, so if I take this address and I go over to the validator,
and I put the address in and validate, I got 26 errors and 3 warnings. So it's yelling at me all over the place, okay? And it's basically yelling at me because of all of those things I did. Okay. So, whoops, that's not what I meant to do. Oh, well. So this is lots of validation problems. And I would have to go in and fix that up. And what I said here is that CSS offers a better alternative. And I don't really understand why it was decided that I should have a little alternative. No, I don't see why that's objecting to that. But anyway, as I said, when I go into the validator, if I can't figure something out and figure out what it is, I clean up the stuff I can see. And it's amazing how often when I get up to clean up the stuff, I see that it had impact and created the one that I couldn't understand. And so that one's gone away too. And then if you get down to 2 or 3 left and you just can't figure them out, then, you know, you have to start doing some research or asking some questions. But lots of times when you take care of the big problems, some of the others go away. Okay. This is a third kind of list. And it's called a definition list. Okay, so I have a DL here, the definition list. So I have audit list, unaudited list, and definition list. DT is where I put the term I want to define. So this is the term I want to define. And then under it, I have a DD, which is the definition. So notice how it comes out. It puts the term over here and the definition underneath. Term, definition, term, definition. So it is good for this kind of thing, when I want to have a term and then a definition of that term. To be honest, I don't use this very much, but it exists. Okay, block quote. Block quotes drive me crazy. I don't like the way they decided to do block quotes. And back when in my XHTML examples, and we'll go and look at a little XHTML, I've got about 10 of these, which echoed my frustration with block quote as I tried a whole lot of ways of doing it. I was calmed down a little more when I got to this one, so you're not seeing 25,000 copies. Okay, so I have a header there, and then I want a block quote. And actually, block quote is, you know, when you're writing a paper and you have taken a big quote from someplace and you want to include it in your paper and you're making it single line and you're indenting it on both sides, that's a block quote. And so a block quote indents on both sides. And I really should have put in something bigger to make that clear that it indents on both sides. But it does. It indents on both sides. What bugs me is that the block quote goes outside the H1. And that may not bug you, but it bugs me. Intuitively, I think the H1 is the big thing, and that should be on the outside, and block quote should be on the inside. And I shouldn't have told you that that's what I think, because now you'll think that may or can be confused too. But block quote, essentially, that you put the block quote, and then you can put the H1, and it gets brought in, and then you can put the paragraph, and it gets brought in. You're not supposed to do it the other way around. The paragraph block quote. It's still block quoted it, but notice it yelled at you about the closing paragraph. It doesn't want you to do that. So it wants to have block quote and then the H1 on the paragraph inside it. Or you could just do a block quote with nothing. Okay, you could just do a block quote all by itself and not tell it it's an H1 or tell it it's a paragraph. Just do it as a block one. Again, limited use, because what it does is pushes everything in and does it on both sides. And if that's what you want to do, then a block quote does it for you. Okay. This one is basically showing you some other things that you can do inside. If I've used sup or sub, okay, so I'm writing here 25 squared is what I want to write. SUP2 puts the 2 up above and lets me write 25 squared equals 625. And then if I want to drop the 2 down so that I'm telling what numbering system I'm in, I can say sub, and that drops the 2 down. So 101 sub 2 is 101 in binary, and 101 in binary is equal to a 5. So I wrote the 5 over there. They also, yet you use EM for emphasis and S strong for strong. And again, this is one of those that I can't remember whether I said that it was validating or not. Did I say validate on this one? Did I say it passed?
It says big obsolete.
Okay, big is obsolete. So therefore, somewhere in here I must have the word big. Or did I take it back out? No, big down here. This is big.
Oh, yeah.
Small, this is small. And it tells you that big is obsolete. So I'm going to go to the validator. Whoops. I want to take this with me. And I'm going to go to the validator. And I'm going to put that address in. And I'm saying check that. And it comes up one error, one warning. And the error is the big element is obsolete, use CSS instead. Okay. So apparently for some reason they allow small but not big, which makes little or no sense to me. But anyway, big is obsolete, small is apparently still allowed. So that was the error, and our warning was the standard warning that we always get. Okay, so when we did this, we saw one error, one warning. One warning is our standard warning. One error is the error, and when we go down, we find out that they don't want me to use big. Pre, I love. Block quote, I hate. Pre, I love. Okay. A lot of what I do involves, I like to cut and paste code. And that cutting and pasting of the code, in this case, involved a certain amount of indenting. And I wanted to preserve that indenting. pre preserves that indenting. So when I say pre and then put all of this code in here, it preserved all of that indenting and put it up there. If I wanted to do this without having the pre command, I would have had to put a VR after every one of them so they go down on the next line. I'd have to have put a bunch of ampersand NBSPs in here to cause it to indent. It would have been a royal pain in the neck to code. But with pre, I can say take the pre-existing layout and put it in. Now, the other thing that pre does is notice that it changes the font. It changes the font to a fixed font. And I think it's Courier New or Courier. So it changes it to a fixed font when it takes it over and puts it in. Okay. But pre keeps those looks. Now on this one, in one of these, I used the ampersand LT when I wanted to write the less than symbol. Then down here I wrote the greater than symbol and didn't use it. It would have been better to use it. But usually you can get away with a markup less than or greater than when you don't have the closing one. When you just have one or the other, you can usually get away with it. But there were a couple of browsers, I know older browsers, that would not show this greater than sign because I didn't change it over to ampersand GT. And so it just didn't show it. So that is pre. And then the last one, and then I'm still going to look at XHTML, so don't get your hopes up. The last one is a division. And a division does not have a blank line after it. So here I've got a DIV. So a DIV I can use like a paragraph. The difference is that a paragraph leaves a blank line, a division doesn't. So I can, it moves down to the next line, because notice I close the division here, and then I started another division, and there's the second division, and there's no blank line between it. Okay, so a division does not leave a blank line, but it does move down to the next line. So it's like a paragraph, except it doesn't leave a blank line. Okay? So lots of times if you want everything all together, a division is the right choice to make. And lots of times people will set up a division and then put paragraphs inside the division, and that's perfectly acceptable. I can have a division, and then within that division, I can have paragraphs. And the last thing I have in there is not a paragraph or a division. It's within the division, but it's just a line. XHTML used to say, and this is key, that everything had to be in a container. XHTML said everything had to be in a container. And so that meant that everything I wrote couldn't just be a line of code. It had to be inside a paragraph or a division or a header or something. It had to be in a container. And that was a royal pain. BRs couldn't even be on their own. A BR had to be within a container. Everything had to be within containers. And so XHTML got very strict. HTML5 has lightened that strictness. And I can now write something that is not within a container. Although this would have been fine because it's within a container, it's within the division container. But nowadays, I would actually write that last sentence after the close of the division and it would be okay. In XHTML, it would not have been okay. But here, I can write something that is not in a container. questions. Basically, what I am giving you for homework is to go home and experiment, because I want you to try these things, okay? And try all of these kind of, a lot of the basic things that we've got here. The next thing is I'm going to look at XHTML very quickly. With XHTML, I pretty much have a lot of these are parallel. So a lot of these are the same ones we just looked at in HTML, but now they're over in XHTML. So if you go to my main page and click on the XHTML sample code under XHTML, you'll see that we're there. Okay, so I'm going to start out with this first one, and this validates. So I've got a header there. Just one little header. Okay. Those top four lines are what I was talking about, or cut and paste. So when you wrote XHTML, you just basically cut and pasted those four lines. And the fourth line included the HTML tag. So the tag below it started out with head. Because the HTML was there, even though it had a gazillion things on it. The main thing that people changed within here was the word strict. There were three different ways you could write XHTML. Strict was the way you should write it. Transitional was when you really didn't know all the answers and you really wanted to cheat some. You could make it transitional. And so you could change the word strict to transitional. There's also such a thing as frames that we will get into later on. That's a very controversial topic. And XHTML, if you were going to use frames, made you specify frame here. So you could specify strict, transitional, or frame up there. And strict was the way you wanted to go. Notice the rest of that page looks the same. It doesn't have the fact that it is using the UTF-8 because essentially inside here it's told all of that kind of stuff that it wants to know. Okay. And it links you to the W3 organization to pick up more stuff, whatever. Okay. So now if I go down a little bit and pick up one where I have paragraphs and spacing, I thought this one had BR in it, I guess it doesn't. But it's the same thing, and I was looking for one that had the BR. And I don't see the BR here, so I'm going to forget this one and go look for another one. Line break. Okay, so in here, at first they said that you could use this BR and then close BR right after it. But notice that is now written out, so they've decided that isn't a good plan. What they want is the BR space slash. BR space slash. And if you write in XHTML, you need to use that. Now, I'm asking you to develop a page in HTML5 for homework. And then I said I'd like you to redo the page in XHTML. So, when you redo the page in XHTML, you take out that top line that says doc type. You take out the second line that says HTML, you take out the meta tag line, and you paste these four lines in instead. And if you use BR, which I think I've told you you had to do,
then you have to change the BR to BR space slash.
And you have to be very careful that you've closed all tags. And you have to be very careful that everything is in a container. Well, everything should be, because the way you're writing the other one is you're experimenting with different things, so everything is probably going to be in a container. So the big fix between HTML5 and XHTML is going to be pasting these four lines in, eliminating doctype, eliminating HTML, eliminating the meta tag, and changing any BRs to say BR space slash. That's going to be the main thing you're going to do. So once you've created the HTML5 page and you've got that to validate, then you want to go and get this to validate. Yeah.
Oh, the top line, I noticed was red. Is that just because it's an older version?
I honestly don't know, or whether it's just...
Or is there a 2.0?
There may be. There may have been a 2.0 that came out. I honestly don't know. Let's go and validate it and see what happens.
Yeah. I think it'll validate. One of those should be fine, but I was just out of curiosity why it was red.
Yeah, no, that is. It's been red for a long time, so I guess I stopped caring. Okay, that passed. So even the BR and then the slash BR for the BR, putting in the two tags, even that passed. I was going to be not surprised if they decided to make that an error. So this passed. And the standards for XHTML done, so they don't even give you a warning. So that passed. Okay, if I go down in that list that I had there... I think I've got one. Yes, this one validates transitional. And I think I'll go down to this one. This one, it doesn't even validate transitional. Let's see. This one validates transitional. Okay, so again, I did a block quote. And I've got an H1, and I've got a block quote standing by itself, which is fine. But notice that I put in the words there, transitional. And I don't know why I did that. Maybe because I didn't have the block quote inside another container. It may have wanted that. I honestly don't remember why I made this transitional. Maybe I was just experimenting. But if I now take this and go over to Validator and I put this in and I say check, it now comes up and says validated as XHTML transitional. So if I told it transitional, then it follows different standards. It doesn't get as carried away with rules. Transitional is basically XHTML light. Okay, it doesn't get as hung up on rules. So that validates just fine, transitional. But if I had changed that to strict, it would, there's potentially a problem in it. Okay, so if I've got this, and here's my code, view. Actually, that one's got pretty much all red.
Oh, on the top there.
So if I come in here to Notepad, and I paste this in, and I'm going to change transitional and say strict. And I'm going to change transitional down here and say strict. And I'm going to save this on my T drive as strict test.html. And I'm changing it to all types. And I'm saving it. So now I'm going to come over here to the markup. And I'm going to say validate by file, upload, and I'm going to browse, and I'm going to find strict test. So I'm clicking on strict test, and then I'm saying check, and it found an error. And block quote. Character data is not allowed here. Which tells you pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
But if you look down at the putting, down at the errors, putting text directly in the body of the document without wrapping it in a container, such as a paragraph. So it did not consider block quote a container. Okay? So that's why it complained, is it wasn't inside a container. Okay? So if I come back over here and I put it now and put in a paragraph, and we'll try the paragraph inside. And so now I've put it in a paragraph, file save, and I'm going to go back to the validator and say I want to upload this. It's now happy. Okay? So it was now happy when I put it, and again, this is what really bugs me. Is that if I put that paragraph outside, which I claim you should do when it's a container, we'll see. Maybe this will make a liar out of me. Maybe they've come to agree with me. Okay, so now I'm putting the paragraph outside the block quote, and I'm doing the file save. And I'm coming over here to the validator, and I am saying I want to upload this and check it. And I've now got two errors. Character data is not allowed here, and document type does not allow a block quote here. So basically, it's yelling at me so that it wanted the P not to be on the outside. Okay? And as I said, that's one of the things that bugs me about, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. If a paragraph is a container and a block quote isn't a container, then that seems to me a container is more powerful and therefore it should be outside. But my opinion's worthless, their opinion counts, and so they don't want it outside, they wanted it inside. So I had to have block quote and then a paragraph. Okay? Computers are frustrating little toys. Okay, questions? Okay. I'm done. I think I've hit saturation level, probably. So basically, the XHTML examples, if you want to look, feel free to look, but they parallel the others. So I just wanted to show a few of them to show the XHTML. Your assignment for this week is over here. First assignment, I also want you to do the survey. I want you to write a page. And I want you to write a page that uses all of those things. The page does not have to make any sense whatsoever. Okay? I just want you to write all of those things. So you can write la-di-da a lot of times inside paragraphs and divisions and whatever else you want to put it in, or you can do some kind of page. What I'm telling you is I've had people take a lot of time making a really nice page that makes sense and all the rest of it. Don't waste your time. I just want you to try the different things. You'll have plenty of time to make nice looking ones. And I want you to write it in HTML5 and then redo it in XHTML. What you're going to do then is send me an email and you're going to attach them both. So you're just going to attach the HTML, you're going to attach the XHTML. I'm going to bring it up in the browser and see if it works. Notice it says extra credit if you get your pages to validate. So I will check them to see if they validate, and if they validate, you get extra credit. Okay? So the assignment is to write them, the validate them is extra credit. Questions? Okay. All right, what do I have?